Willkommen zum Lehrstoff, dem textilen Podcast. Hier gibt es Informationen rund um den Fachbereich Textil- und Bekleidungstechnik der Hochschule Niederrhein. Wir stellen Ihnen Themen rund um das Studium, die Forschung und die Textilindustrie vor. Wir, das sind Studierende und Professoren aus den deutschen und englischen Bachelorstudiengängen. Viel Spaß!
Do you remember the date? April 24, 2013. What was the consequence? 1,134 people are killed, more than 2,500 people are injured, and still they are fighting with their lives. If you already forget, then I can help you to remember that day, because on that day, world giant top media reported like building collapse in Bangladesh leaps scored dead by New York Times, dozen killed in Bangladesh building collapse by Deutsche Welle, Bangladesh Dhaka building collapse leaves 87 dead by BBC News. 8-story building was collapsed, name is Rana Plaza. They are producing garments for world big fashion brand. Is still they responsible for that incident? No, they are not. But that time many human rights finger out to them for that incident because of supply chain. On that occasion, Germany took a step forward forcing company to take the responsibility for any kind of labor or environmental abuse in their global supply chain.
Hello and welcome to our podcast about the German supply chain law. My name is Maike and my colleague's name is Ludvor. Hello, Ludvor.
Hello, Maike.
So, Ludvor, since you're from Bangladesh, maybe we can just start with the question, how do you remember the Rana Plaza, or do you even remember the day?
Yeah, I remember that day very well because I had an interview beside the Rana Plaza in one company. Roads were stuck and garments worker blocked the road. When I came home, I turned on the TV and watched a live situation at Rana Plaza. What is happening over there? Many people have died and some are smashed by rock and stone. Some people were crying and searching for their relatives. Few dead bodies were smashed very badly that couldn't be possible to recognize. A hour to hour, dead people's numbers were increasing, and it was a very bad day in Bangladesh history.
And did you know someone who was injured or killed from this within this accident?
No, I do not know directly someone, but I heard a lot of history from the worker, because I had a very good connection with the worker because I was working factory. That is why I heard so many stories from the worker.
What a tough intro. But yeah, we are talking today about the supply chain due diligence law. So hopefully this will change and this way it will never happen again. Yeah, Ludvor, if that's okay, before we start, I think I would like to give some background information about the political history, sort of. I will try to keep it short because it's rather complicated, I guess. So it all happened already, one could say 10 years ago with the United Nations who passed the Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, which were developed by Professor John Ruggie. And these human rights acknowledged the responsibility of course, the state, of the government to respect human rights, but this also accounts for businesses. And then to sort of incorporate these guiding principles, there was the National Action Plan, so that in Germany they tried to check whether these, decided whether these guiding principles also apply for the German government and for the people working in Germany or working for Germany. And they did a monitoring showing that this does not apply, and only 17% or up to 17%, it was, I think, of the question companies really met these requirements. And so they decided to pass a law. And this was all sort of pushed also by the Great Coalition. But of course, there were a lot of other parties, like the, in German, they call it Lieferkettengesetzinitiative, Supply Chain Law Initiative, and they also pushed this development, of course.
I remember that before the German Bundestag passed the law, there was a lot of changes. The draft by the German government was different, isn't it?
Yeah, for example, they changed that foreign companies that have branches or subsidiaries in Germany are now also to be included, or they also changed that companies are not held liable under civil law. So there are some changes, but I think we'll get into this more detailed later on.
The Due Diligence Act, also referred to as the Supply Chain Act, is intended to contribute to improving the international human rights situation. The law lays down requirements for large domestic companies so that they must practice responsible management of their supply chain. For example, they have to ensure the supply abroad comply with essential human rights and environmental protection requirements.
But what are these essential human rights and environmental protection requirements? When it comes to the human rights, this includes, for example, the prohibition of child labor, or the protection against slavery and forced labor, or things like work safety, payment of adequate wages, or also the right of, for example, people in production facilities to form trade unions or elect an employee representative.
Yeah, you are right. The law also takes into account risk to the environment. On the one hand, when they lead to human rights violence, say for example poison in water, and on the other hand, when it comes to banning substances that are dangerous to human and the environment.
But can you maybe also introduce us for who this law is applicable and when this law starts, like when is it applicable to the companies?
Yes. The Act will be applicable from 2023 for which company have more than 3,000 employees and also registered in Germany. But this law will applicable from 1st January 2024 who have less than 3,000 employees. Foreign companies' branches also covered in this law who are in Germany.
I think the last part you've mentioned about the foreign companies, this part wasn't that much included in the first draft by the German government. So they have amended this before they have passed the law, before the Bundestag has passed the law. But let us now get into the real, let's call it, to-dos for the companies. First of all, they have to define responsibilities. They have to appoint, for example, a human rights officer who is responsible to establish a risk management system, who is responsible to conduct the risk analysis and say what kind of preventive measures the enterprises wants to operate, and all these things. For all these things, you need to define a committee or an officer who does this. And this has to be conducted annually, or they call it on an event-driven basis, meaning if, for example, someone from a production facility says, I don't know, our human rights here are harmed, then they have to conduct the risk analysis again and really define how they can change the situation in the facility. Furthermore, they have to formulate a policy statement on how their corporate human rights strategy looks like, what kind of risks they have identified, and how they want to face all these problems in the future. We have to differentiate here between things that happen within the own enterprise, things that happen with direct suppliers and indirect suppliers, because indirect suppliers are not necessarily integrated. Companies don't have to integrate this part into their risk management system, but only in case they have found out that really human rights are violated
companies also have to establish a complaints procedure so that people within production facilities, they have to be able to communicate their problems. And also companies have to document and report all these previously mentioned points on their website. And it has to be available for the public for at least 7 years. So for quite a long time, actually. But the question here, of course, is who controls all this?
Control is the responsibility of the Federal Office of Economics and Export Control.
That is the Bundesamt für Wirtschaft und Ausfuhrkontrolle, short BAFA in German.
They can check the report and give the penalties and fines, which is up to 2% of the turnover. You have already said at the beginning that they have changed their regulation concerning the claim. At this point, can you maybe explain the more details?
Yeah, so already before, victims were able to claim for their rights and claim that their rights have been violated. However, these persons within developing countries, etc., they really didn't have the knowledge or the financial means, the power to file a lawsuit in Germany. So in reality, these things really rarely happened. And so they took up this problem within this law and said, okay, now victims may authorize NGOs, trade unions to claim these, to claim a lawsuit against the German company and in front of the German courts. But still, these companies are not civilly responsible, but they have to pay fines. And I think at this point, it's really important again to say this law does not say that they have to succeed or they have to guarantee that there are no violations anymore. This is not the goal of this law. But the goal is that they have a so-called duty of effort.
In our spec, we have tried to know what is the reaction in ground level regarding this new supply chain law. For that reason, we made a long interview with Mr. Afroz Ahmed Robin, who working with a vital position in garments and textile industry in Bangladesh. And we got some vital point during the interview. What will be the consequence in Bangladesh for the new supply chain law in Germany?
Worker first benefit, after that family, after that society, after that districts, means our districts and also country. Actually, if German government or German band are asking this stuff, so it, you know, for right now they are set up everything. This is the setup not for only for German, it's the Europe market and other. So if any German government or the German brand, they are asking this one, so need to rework. They need to set up new things for buildings, environment, and also worker. They need to train up. So you need to use money. So one thing, it is provide for the this money is government, is our government provide. This is okay. Otherwise, if German any brand, they are contact with together, it means partnership, then it is okay for us. Otherwise, it is so tough for the any owner.
As per Mr. Robin's statement, worker will be benefited with this law, but initially German companies should help for infrastructure, and most important that German company should do partnership with suppliers, and it will be more effective both supplier and German companies. You know, Mikey, in different time there have some criticism regarding this law. Because the German Industry Association already criticized by this law, German company will be less competitive in the international market. Also, one NGO, they also criticized this law at the beginning. It's okay, but this law not going to be long run for sustainable supply chain.
Yeah, they also have some environmental criticism, I remember, because this law really focused on this. It focuses on both on social and environmental aspects, but I know that there are a lot of environmental organizations which criticize that these points are not so much integrated concerning the environment.
On the other hand, Human Rights Watch made a comment that Germany's new supply chain law in RegTech, but it should be more rectified for the more strength.
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of criticism in general, but it's also that it only contains rather big companies than smaller companies, and they all say that also a medium-sized company can have a great effect, which is clear, of course, because particularly if we talk about the textile industry, there are a lot of medium-sized family-owned companies which definitely have a big effect. But I think, as you said it, there must be a European legislative, and they are already discussing about it, and it will be probably a lot stricter than the German regulation. But it, of course, takes a little longer time now. The German supply chain law was already passed, but so it's a lot quicker than the European regulation. So I guess there's positive and negative effects on it, and the European legislative will be part of a different podcast. So I guess we will stop here, Ludfur.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this educational podcast, and I would like to say goodbye for today. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you also from my side, and goodbye.